This week on the Hall of Very Good podcast, we're joined by Jeff Idelson, president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm Lou Olson.
And I'm Sean Anderson. The Hall of Very Good podcast starts right now.
Out of the Park Baseball puts you in charge of your favorite Major League Baseball franchise as you guide it through unlimited seasons of championship chasing. Trade players, sign free agents, draft prospects, set lineups and pitching assignments, call the shots from the dugout, and much more. If GMs and managers can do it in real life, you can do it in Out of the Park Baseball. Out of the Park Baseball also features historical play, online leagues, tons of customization options, and much more. So get hired as a virtual GM today.
Baseball has always been a big part of my life. I came to the Hall of Fame 21 years ago, very happily as the PR and promotions director, and just loved Cooperstown so much, loved everything the Hall of Fame stood for. It's been a part of my heart the whole 21 years I've been here, and 8 years ago, my bosses decided that they had run out of people and promoted me.
Were you the obvious choice, or was it between you and some other people, or was it just, you know what, the succession just made sense?
You know, that's really only something my board can answer and board chairman, but I think they like the idea of a known quantity. I had been with the museum, 13 years. They knew what they had in me, and I never thought of myself in the role that I'm in now. I never really, honestly never thought about it, never dreamed about it. And when the opportunity presented itself to me, I wasn't sure that I was the right guy. But my bosses convinced me otherwise, that I should give it a shot. And 8 years later, I'm glad that they did, because I love being at the Hall of Fame every day. I love our staff, and I work for an institution that makes a difference in the world.
Now, I'm guessing I know the answer, but what's your favorite time of the year? Is it finding out who the new inductees are going to be, or is it actually Hall of Fame weekend itself?
I don't know that I necessarily have a favorite. I think what I like is the seasons of baseball, and that all four seasons bring you different elements of great activities and fun, whether it's starting out the year with having the induction class and finding out who's going to get in and knowing what our summer's going to be like, or springtime when the season opens and I find myself in ballparks around the country, induction over the summer, the fall classic in October, and then we circle around again, and before you know it, we're announcing our induction class, solid 6 weeks before pitchers and catchers report.
On the horizon, you've got another really good induction class ahead of you here in July. Are you excited at the prospect? I mean, everybody, Griffey's going in. Are you excited at the prospect of spending the weekend with Griffey and his family and maybe some of the other guys?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about the new guys, and it's also about the guys who are already in, and, the interaction between the two, the rookies every year, learning what it's like to be a part of it. But Ken Griffey Jr. is a guy that had a career that I followed very closely, obviously, working in the American League with the Red Sox and Yankees before coming to Cooperstown. He was just getting his feet under him when I was in New York, and a lot of admiration for his career. He's certainly the headline guy in the ballot, and then you look to, Trevor Hoffman, Billy Wagner as other new guys on the ballot, and Jeff Bagwell and Mike Piazza as the big returnees. So who knows what the writers are going to deal us as a hand and for an induction class, but I'm excited to see who goes in and excited to welcome him to the Hall of Fame.
Right, and one thing that, we want to note is you don't have a say in who comes in. I mean, it's all up to the writers. I think a lot of people, they think that, there's, politics or whatever. It's you govern the museum, but it's up to the writers as to who goes in.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame in its infancy, in fact, even before we opened in 1939, 3 years before we opened, we bestowed the baseball writers with the opportunity of electing the classes each year. They were an organized group. They were formalized. Radio and television was in its infancy. And 1936, these men and women were voting 3 years before we opened. And, 76 years later now, from 1939, they're still handling the election process.
Now, let's get back to the rookies that might be coming in this year. They're not rookies, really, but, the first-time guys that are coming in. Assuming that most of them haven't been there, haven't gone through the Hall of Fame, What's the reaction like each year when you bring the new inductees into the museum itself?
It's interesting because, you know, guys have a hard time accepting that their career is done, even when they've been out 6 years by the time they get to us. And, you know, I think for a lot of them, they turn the page on induction day when they're up giving a speech. But when we bring them in the spring, so the election results are in January, and then we bring the new inductees up in the spring one at a time so they can get a lay of the land and understand the enormity of Hall of Fame weekend. But as they step into the museum, as you pointed out, many of them for the first time, I think it dawns on them as they see the history of the game just what a significant role they played. And they also see the footsteps they've walked in. They've heard about it. But, for Greg Maddux to see his artifacts alongside Walter Johnson's or Christy Mathewson's, I think it really hits home just how important baseball is and how meaningful it is in the tradition and history that exists.
What is there at the Hall of Fame? I know you've got an archive. I won't call it a back room. We'll call it the archives. What's your favorite item in the collection? I mean, is this something that's on display that you could bring somebody to, or is it something that's kind of like a weird item, or is it something that's tucked away that nobody's really seen? Do you have a favorite piece that you enjoy?
There are a number of pieces I enjoy, and you're right. We do, any museum worth its salt is going to have an archive, and most museums have about 15, maybe 15, 18% of their holdings on display at any one time. Very normal. You need to rotate items to make sure that they're preserved. You have loans with other museums, and you want to keep your displays and exhibits fresh. But some of the seminal artifacts to me that I like, we have a bat from the 1927 season from Babe Ruth, the year he hit 60. And what's great about this one bat that we have of his was it was in an era before, defacing equipment wasn't allowed. And every time that he homered with this bat, he'd get back on the bench and with a little penknife, he'd carve a notch on the trademark. There's 28 notches carved around the trademark, the Louisville Slugger trademark of this bat, which is a great piece because it was the 27 season, and B, I mean, bats break so rapidly today. This one he used to hit 28 jacks, and the fact that it mattered to him that he'd go back and carve it just tells so many different stories. That's one example of an artifact I love to show to people to help explain the difference in times.
Now, one last question before we get to the Friday Five, and I know some of his artifacts are there on display. Do we even want to discuss Pete Rose?
Whatever you want to discuss.
Well, because I know, obviously he's kind of the gorilla in the room. What are your thoughts on Pete Rose's inclusion in the Hall of Fame? As obviously his stuff is there, but as a player or as a player manager, what are your thoughts? Where do you fall on the whole Pete Rose debate?
Well, for the fan who hasn't been to Cooperstown and maybe making the travel east from Rockford or the surrounding area, we're really three entities under one roof, okay? We're a museum and a library, that's one entity. We're an education center, that's a second entity, and we're a Hall of Fame, which is the third entity. And in the museum and library, we collect artifacts from players, whether they're Hall of Famers or not, because that's how we tell the history of the game. And we have 20 artifacts plus from Pete Rose because you can't tell the history of baseball without including Pete Rose. I mean,
right.
I'm of the age where he was important to me in my childhood as a great player. On the celebratory side, as it relates to the Hall of Fame, having spent 8 years with teams, I could tell you that every time I walked through the door of the clubhouse, the first sign that I read was, "You won't gamble on baseball." And unfortunately for those of us who, grew up loving Pete Rose, he committed baseball's cardinal sin, lied about it for 20 years, and then wrote a book saying that he lied about lying about it, and he actually did gamble on baseball and did so as a player manager. So in terms of the good housekeeping seal of approval, meaning the Hall of Fame, I think it'll be tough for him to gain admittance. I think if he had mea culpa early and showed some contrition, it might have helped him. But the voting rules speak to ability wrapped around character, integrity, and sportsmanship as it relates to the game on the field. And if gambling in baseball in effect potentially affecting the outcome of games isn't of great integrity, then it's hard to justify his having a plaque in the museum.
Yeah, I think, now for what it's worth, I think Pete Rose, as Pete Rose, as the corporation Pete Rose, gets more out of not being in the Hall of Fame than he does being in, frankly. I mean, because he's the pariah, or, you know, the self-imposed, you know, whatever, by not being there. The minute he gets in, he doesn't have a shtick anymore.
Yeah, who knows if he even needs a shtick, but it's just sad. It's sad for baseball, it's sad for baseball fans, and, you know, at some level, I'm sure Pete would like to be there, and it's hard to look at all that he accomplished and believe that he's, you know, not in the game, so, or in the Hall of Fame, rather. So, I'm sad about the fact that he's not there, but certainly uphold and understand and don't disagree with the fact that he's not there, and hell of a player. His accomplishments will always be remembered, but so will his cardinal sin of having gambled in baseball.
The National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum is coming to Milwaukee, beginning with a preview exhibition January 22nd through April 30th. With members from more than 40 states, momentum is growing, and you can join in. Become a founding member today and get great benefits, including two exclusive founding member bobbleheads. Visit bobbleheadhall.com for more information. That's bobbleheadhall.com.
All right, it's time for the Friday Five. Joining me again is Jeff Idelson, president of the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. Jeff, if you could only eat one food item for the rest of your life, what would that food item be?
I can tell you without blinking, pesto.
Really? Why is that?
I love pesto. I love basil. I love cannoli nuts. There's just something about a fresh pesto, which I had for dinner tonight, which rings true for me.
If you could pick one person to have dinner with, who would that be?
That is tough. That is tough, bringing it down to one. You know, Jackie Robinson obviously has to be there. I can only have one.
You know what? I'll give you three.
How about if I have Jackie Robinson and Babe Ruth? I mean, Babe Ruth could bring the beer. He could tell me what it was like to pitch and to hit. Jackie Robinson can tell me about desegregation and what he went through. I would take those two guys. It would be a nice little corner table for three, and they wouldn't have to have pesto.
You could have their pesto.
We could have hot dogs.
There you go. What is your least favorite nickname, if you have one?
My least favorite nickname?
And you can pass.
How about Fat Freddie Fitzsimmons, who played in the 30s? I don't know. You know, you got to be more imaginative than calling somebody fat.
All right, number four. What is your favorite scary movie? Now, I have to jump in here and say, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a horror movie. It could just be a movie that just kind of, you know, scares the daylights out of you.
The movie that scared the daylights out of me as a child and still does today, even though it is so dated, The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
That scared me. I remember my parents leaving me at home with my brother and sister who were younger than me, and they said, you know, be careful. You know, watch The Love Boat, watch Fantasy Island. As soon as they left, I put on The Exorcist and have regretted it for the last 45 years.
How old were you at that time?
I was about maybe 10, so maybe the last 41 years.
I want to say I was probably about that same age when my brother was watching Psycho. And happened to sit down and think, oh, okay. And yeah, it's had the same. Now, it's probably one of those movies where if I were to make a list of my top, you know, 15, 20 best movies I've ever seen, I'd put Psycho in that list. But it also is the one that I still get that feeling when I watch it of just, you know, just fear. And you don't want to, you sit there and you think, why was I ever introduced to this in the first place?
Yeah, mine was self-inflicted. I was warned and I did it anyway.
All right, last question. What's your favorite all-time TV show?
Favorite all-time TV show? I don't know. I'm fairly partial to Cheers. You know, when you're talking a show or a sitcom, I don't watch much TV, quite honestly. But Cheers was a big one as sitcoms go because I grew up in Boston and it had a sports theme. It was in a bar. There was a lot of funny anecdotes. So I'd say for sitcom, probably Cheers.
Where can people find you? I know you're on Twitter. You're pretty active.
They can find me in Cooperstown 20 days a month and on the road the other 10 or 11. In the cyber world, they can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or they can come see me in Cooperstown.
And your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is Hall of Fame Prez. Same for Instagram. I like to post pictures. I feel very fortunate to have the job I do, to have a lot of insight to things that others don't, and I like to share it.
Thank you to our guest this week. If you'd like to learn more about me, you can find me on the Twitter at Lucifer Olsen. That's L-O-U-C as in cat, I-F-E-R-O-L-S-E-N. Sean, where can the people find you?
Thanks, Lou. As always, you can find me on Twitter at H-O-V-G. And remember, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/hollowverygood, and drop us a like. We'll talk to you later.
Later, boners.